Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
So I just want to start by reading a passage from Matthew, and it comes from Matthew 22, and it's verses 1 to 14. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven came to be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, 'The feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed and everything is ready. Come to the banquet.' But the guests he had invited ignored them and he went their own way. One to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honour. Now go to the street corners and invite everyone you see.' So the servants brought everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. 'Friend,' he said, 'how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?' But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, 'Bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" We see here that the parable begins by Jesus comparing the kingdom of heaven to a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. It would have been an expectation in his culture for the king to provide a public feast on many occasions, and the marriage of his son would have been no different. Due to the customs and culture, this would have made it easy for the audience to understand the importance of what Jesus was demonstrating. And you know what? This is still relevant for us today. We still celebrate events such as weddings, birthdays, and often other anniversaries. We read, "When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited." So we see here that the guests had prior notice of the event which was going to take place. I'm sure that you can resonate with this. Either when you're organising an event of this magnitude, such as a wedding or birthday, or even get invited to one of these events for yourself, we often either do the invitations or receive the invitations with plenty of notice. And after the first invitation, the guests refused to come. Because of this, the king was confused and thought that they may have misunderstood the message due to the refusal. I'm sure that if I was in the king's situation, I would have thought exactly the same thing. Have you ever been to a very beautiful wedding? Hardwood floors, flowers everywhere, beautiful smells, beautiful sights, the taste of sweet drinks and delicious food, the opportunity to catch up with family and friends. Who would want to miss out on that? So, he sent his servants out again and repeating the same message with greater detail. However, again the guests paid no attention to the invitation and continued along with their own agendas. One going to his field and another one to his own business. And in verse 5 it says, "But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way. One to his farm, another to his business." Perhaps it was because they thought, "I don't have time to be partying. I have work to do, fields to prepare, business to attend to. In their minds, business was more important than feasting at a wedding. Ironically, just like the parable, many people are not willing to come. They say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have a new job. I'm starting and I can't come. I have other plans. I don't believe in the king. I don't want to." All these excuses, so they don't come. You may know this feeling yourself. Most of us have probably been invited to a wedding or a social gathering that we feel obligated to go to because of our association with a person. But we really don't want to go. So we conveniently forget it. Or we throw the invitation in the trash because we feel we've got better things to do, even though the party is offering free food and drink. So are you saying your time is more important? Work is very important in our society. We accumulate plenty of bills with our taste buds and lifestyles, credit cards, and everything else that needs to be paid for. We are a busy society. And we like this. It makes us feel important to be doing something. The excuses can be even worse than that, though. Like, we had company. I was at a party this weekend. I don't want to miss the footy game today. Or we had a game or concert or an event that we had to go to. It's amazing how people pay big bucks to go to a game or a concert, drive over an hour, wait in line, sit or stand through the wind and the freezing rain, pay big bucks for food and drink, and then return and say, "I had a great time." But we read here in Matthew 6, 19-21, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Most of the time, this comes down to what you want. You don't have to go to that sports event, but you want to. You don't have to have the nicest cars and clothing, but that's what you want. And so, you have to pay it off. You don't have to sleep in on a Sunday morning, but you want to. It simply comes down to the question, what do you want? Where are your treasures stored? Are you one of the people who turned down the invitation and said that you have other plans or make up other excuses? Do you need to change your thinking and your mindset? What are some of the things that you might need to change in your life to make sure that you're taking up the invitation and not making other plans or excuses? I want to make it clear, and very clear, that this doesn't mean that if you ever stand up God, that you're going to hell. The danger is that when you start accepting your own excuses, they will continue on in your life until your whole life becomes an excuse. We see when the original guests who were invited didn't come, what did the king say next? He said, "Now go out to the street corners, invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. Imagine, even if you were the richest person on earth, had money to feed the whole world three times over, would you go as far as to invite anyone you could find, both good and bad, for your own wedding or birthday? Are we looking beyond the four walls of our churches or our homes? Or have we become too focused on the people in our churches and the people coming to us, rather than us going out to them? And if we are doing this, are we actually and honestly say to ourselves that we're willing to invite anyone in? Even if you're doing this, or you're just beginning, it is important for us to remember that the very people we think who would enjoy hearing about Christ may and do often reject him. And those who we might never imagine would embrace Christ show a deep and intense longing of hunger for him. It's true that God has invited many, but few will take up the invitation. Just because God wants everyone to be saved, and just because he has prepared a banquet big enough for the world to eat, that doesn't mean that the world will be saved. So don't be surprised or disappointed at who accepts and rejects the gospel. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3, 6-9, Paul writes, "I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. You might not see the fruits of your work, or at what stage in someone's life you're speaking about the rich feast of the gospel. However, we're all playing an important part in God's work. You could be the one who's planting the seed in the heart, or you could be the one who's watering the seed which has already been planted. Every small word or action can play a huge part in someone taking up that invitation to join the banquet. So how are you displaying God's grace, love, and compassion to those around you? Is this through your words, your actions? Are you the same person in public as you are behind closed doors? If not, then what do you need to change? Do we, and I'm not talking about the church, but us as individuals, do we need to be intentional about creating spaces to invite people in? What do you need to do to ensure that, just like Jesus, you're willing to create a space where you cross barriers to ensure that everyone has the opportunity to be invited, because everyone is welcome? You know what? The king didn't care who they found. As long as he or she lived and breathed, they were welcome to come. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to meet any credentials. You don't have to be better than anyone else in this world. You don't have to be wearing any special clothing to be invited. You can be naked and lying in a gutter for all God cares. The banquet will be full of people from all walks of society, but both high and mighty and low and dirty, good and bad. There is no way you could read this parable any other way than that God wants all to be saved. We're about to play a song shortly, and some of the words in that song say this: to the thief and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and to the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, you've been forgiven, all who dream, all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost, you have been found, all who have been labelled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song, come, come to the table. Come join the sinners, you have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Saviour. Sit down and be set free. Jesus calls us out of the shadows, out of the graves, to be entirely known and entirely filled with God's presence. Jesus calls us all. All who are made in God's own image. All who breathe the breath of God's Spirit, the Spirit of life. Jesus calls us to the table, to the meal that nourishes our bodies and binds our dry bones into the body living in Christ. Jesus calls us here and now. He invites us to come to this table, you who are beloved in Christ. Come, not because you must, but because you may. God provided food for his people wandering in the desert. In Numbers 21:5, they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. He provided, but they rejected it. So it's no surprise that we see Jesus using the image of great provision being rejected to illustrate God's gracious invitation to join in the kingdom. The king did not care who came to the feast, whether they were good or bad. The gospel is for every person, no matter their race, social position, gender, age, or what they've done in the past. Christ wants to give everyone the opportunity to know him. Each and every one of us is welcomed and called to come and sit at the table. Christ calls us to be out in our communities, creating a space for everyone to have that opportunity to listen to what God has to say, to hear the gospel, to know his love, grace, compassion, and salvation. God is calling us to his wedding banquet. Indeed, right now, at this very moment, he is calling all of humanity across every country, every nationality, every language, every area of the world, from deserts to jungles to big cities to suburbs to cabins out in the woods, to come to this banquet. So, I want to leave you with these questions. Are you going to take up the invitation and come sit at the table and not make other plans or excuses? Taking up the invitation to be part of God's kingdom. And if you're already sitting at that table, are you going to step outside your comfort zone and invite others to come and join you at that table, so they too can hear about the message of God's love, grace, compassion, and salvation, and for them to have their own opportunity to be part of God's kingdom. So as we listen to this song, and if you feel like God is calling you to come forward for prayer, do it. If you want to sing along to the song, sing along to the song as well. If you don't know it, just sit there and reflect. But I encourage you to take this time out and actually openly and honestly have a real conversation with God about where you are and whether you truly have taken up that invitation to be at the banquet and come and sit at the table.
Come to the table.